Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
.130 today, Scott Allen of the Washington Post's DC Sports Blog is going to join us. We can ask him his thoughts on this Bryce Harper discussion we're having. We'll also get his take on All-Star Weekend in D.C. We're an event town. We're about to roll out the red carpet for Major League Baseball. Speaking of which, we got a couple of family four-packs to the Fan Fest that we're giving away later this hour on Grant and Danny. Make sure you continue to listen. I've got a bunch of tweets to read for you, and then we'll get back to the phones. We're asking people about Bryce Harper, and we get that he's having a bad year. We're not asking if you'd pay him. What we're asking about is basically his popularity in town, his likability, which seems to have taken a major shot. We're trying to figure out if it's because of the performance or the money he wants, or people are prepared for him to leave, so they're trying to basically be mean to him and force him out first.
More vitriol than you'd expect to see from a guy that's won an MVP for you, a guy that's won a Rookie of the Year for you, a guy that's, his first week in town, he played softball with a bunch of, Joes and Bros on the National Mall that bowed to the right field fans who were, as excited to welcome him as anybody, a guy that has done an awful lot here in this city, in this area, whether it's dedicating Little League fields and working charity stuff kind of behind the scenes, trying to keep his own private life private. It's amazing to see the turn. And it's a number of ingredients, I would argue, if you're kind of just tuning in to recap my view. I think when people hear the amount of money, and plus to go with the expectations that he already has as somebody that's, a generational talent, everyone gets mad when the results aren't perfect. And the results are bad this year, okay? You combine all those different things, plus this Vegas Golden Knights jersey for some people, plus his tweets for other people, plus his dog for different folks, and the picture has been painted for somebody that's leaving, is going to get paid a lot, that has underachieved for their liking, and yeah, they're mad. People are mad.
We'll mow through a bunch of the calls here again, 800-636-1067. Matt said, why would anyone possibly care about what teams Bryce roots for? Never understood that. People just seem to dislike him for strange reasons. Fans care about that stuff, and I will never understand why. To me, there's a difference between supporting the local teams and becoming a fan of all of them and forgetting where you came from, basically, mm-hmm, as a fan. He has always supported the local teams. The only time he didn't was when his favorite team was playing them in the Stanley Cup. Enoch says, fan is short for fanatic, and that first call proves it. Just because a guy becomes a paid employee of your favorite team doesn't mean he now has to change who he is and what he likes. Mm-hmm. I just don't get it. All he does is go 100% on the field. Dave says, Scott Boras tossing out $400-500 million has turned a lot of people and fans against his client, Bryce Harper. That's true. That money, you hear that.
See A-Rod, man, I'm telling you.
Right away you go, he wants that much money? He's not worth that. I know this because my dad, he'll ask me sometimes about players. He's like, how much does that guy make? And I'll say, oh, he makes $140 million. He goes, are you kidding me? Like, he went to a Nats game. First time he's been to a game with me all year long a few weeks back. And Bryce struck out in two of his first three at-bats. And he had a base hit or something the other time. But in the two times he struck out, my dad leaned forward to me and he goes, $200 million, huh? Like, both times he struck out.
Right.
He's not doing a bit. Like, he's serious. And I think a lot of fans think that
way. It's a money thing, I'm telling you.
You got to get a hit every time if you're going to make $200 million. Nick says if the Nats were awful with no expectations and Bryce was hitting .330 with 25 jacks, the sentiment would be different. The Nats are struggling. And then you got this guy saying, don't sell me short on $450 million when he was on the show, as one of the primary roots of the team's struggles, which is fair. We'll read more tweets coming up in a few. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, guys, something that I've been thinking about that hasn't been mentioned, and it's nuanced, but, if you think about who has gotten paid in this town, big money. Alex Ovechkin is the only one I can think of who people didn't turn on. The idea that Cousins was going to make generational money, and yet many people saw him as the middle-of-the-pack quarterback, mm-hmm, bothered people.
Yes,
okay?
It did.
There's something to that. We want Bryce to be Mike Trout to get paid like that, not to be Bryce of 2018. The other thing, and it's unfair as hell, and it's petty, but Bryce is the poster child for the bust part of this boom or bust season. It appears to be a bust, and there's plenty of blame go around, but he's going to get the lion's share of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I was told that you didn't like him pulling for Vegas. Is that true or no?
No. I think that's petty, and I think people are petty, and that. But it's very real to people, apparently.
So you're with me. You do think that that was a turning point.
I think it hurts him, absolutely.
Oh, I know. I know it's a turning point. I got friends. I can't believe this is how they think, but that bothered a number of guys that whose opinion I value in general. They held it against him still to this day. They're mad about it.
There were a couple of boos at Nats Park in his first game after that. Now, most people cheered him, obviously, but there were a couple of boos. I could not believe it. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But people were very offended and bothered that he wore the jersey of the team that he loves and watches every single night on DVR when he can't watch them because he's playing in a baseball game. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Joe.
I think the word you're looking for is obtuse. I think people are being extremely obtuse about this. To look back on it, and I think Danny touched on loyalty, and look no further than Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, Harper had a better season last year than Ryan Zimmerman, and everybody thinks he walked on water. If you look at Ryan Zimmerman's splits last year from the second half of the season and the first half of the season, he was dead weight almost all year. I just think people are really being obtuse. And the thing about the Vegas Golden Knights, I had a buddy that did the same thing, and I'm like, why do you care about that? He's from Vegas. He roots for Vegas like you root for the Redskins. That's the way that goes.
Exactly. It's his team. And the thing that people don't seem to get is, if it wasn't Vegas, he would have been there cheering for them. Like, he roots and pulls for the Caps. He likes hockey. He lives in D.C. It's just that Vegas is his team, and it's happened to be who they were playing in the Cup. A Pippi on Twitter says, Nats fans have been told for years that they're not good enough to retain Harper, and after a while, that irritated them. And maybe they're taking
it
out on him.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
Maybe in certain communities where, like, you know, Yankee fans or the stupid Mets fans that come down for Matt Harvey starts and chant and boo in the right field stands or whatever. Maybe that's out there, but that's not a common refrain, is it?
Our buddy Wookie says, is there anything to, it's easier to look down your nose at Harper's unrealized potential just after the Capitals banked on all that glory? Yeah, I say it's a turning point because it all kind of started right when he wore the jersey, but maybe the Caps championship, the way the Nats have played, which is terrible since, has a lot to do with it. I think that could be something. Let's go to JT in Ashburn. JT, why the sudden animosity towards Harper from this fan base?
I think it's multiple levels of the disappointment they may have as far as his potential here and whether he wants to stay. But I think a lot of it has to do with just history. When Barry Bonds was with San Francisco, by majority of the league, they considered him the best player in the league, and he won zero rings, and they won three after he left. So I think part of it is, if you look at the history of the teams that have won, the Kansas Cities, the Houstons, to some extent the Boston, they didn't really have a team of max players, like super. And you mentioned the Trout. Trout's teams haven't done anything since he's got his max contract.
Yeah, he's played in one playoff game and they lost trying to get into the playoff bracket. Gino, Silver Spring, how are you?
Hey, Grant and Danny. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
You know, maybe a lot of people don't know this. Bryce Harper is Mormon, and I have a stepson Mormon. So Bryce Harper's a god in my house, and my stepson has been coming home recently talking about how all his baseball friends are really ragging on Bryce Harper, and it's very sad. So I'm a huge Bryce Harper fan coming at it from that perspective. But I guess I understand and will try to explain why I think the D.C. sports fan is so down on him and has the animosity. The first is, if you went to a sports bar around here, the first guy you'd move away from is your Duke, Dallas Cowboy, New York Yankee fan.
That's true.
And many of the events have been stated. I'll just add a couple in. The choking by Papelbon, the dude wears my ring, before even the Cowboy text 7 years ago, which seems so trivial. He's on media record as saying his dream is to play center field in Yankee Stadium. And, Grant, I think sometimes you make a good point, but any one or two or even three of these things, I think nobody would pay attention to. But the string is so long. So I think you have this long burn of these little things which annoyed and wrecked the fan base. And then 2018, I think it really changed this year with the combination of the Golden Knights jersey incident, which I have a little bit of a perspective on, plus the decline in performance, plus the stupid, nonsensical, I don't believe for a second, first base ground balls and shaving the beard to impress the Yankees routine. So I think the combination of the play and a couple of more of these dramatic sort of like stamps on the parcel this year have really put it over the top. And what I would say about the Nats, and I'll just politely disagree with your perspective a little bit, Grant, is it's not that he has to like or appreciate the teams here as a Nats player. He doesn't have to support them, but he also doesn't have to be oppositional to them like he is when he wears a Cowboys jersey or hat on the field. And with wearing the jersey, he had been a guest in the owner's box of the owner many times. And I think once you've been treated that way by a team, you should just not wear an opposing jersey in the building after that.
But Gino, did he go to FedEx Field and do that? I don't think he did. John Wall did, by the way. And D'Angelo Hall and some other Redskins were pissed about it.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think he's ever been to FedEx Field in a Cowboys jersey on the sideline. If he did, I'll bet he was sitting in the owner's suite, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, but don't go down on the sideline. But again, he's a fan of a team. You're not wrong. I'm not saying you are. We're never going to agree because I can't possibly work myself into a lather over who a guy likes as a sports fan.
Here's the perspective I would offer to those that say he's been a Capitals guest, a.k.a. like at the highest levels, and then does this Vegas Golden Knights
right.
thing. He was a guest before that team existed. And having something of his own, of their own from Vegas, having been out there while this whole run was going on, it's impossible for us to quantify and understand how much that meant to the city. So would he have turned down invitations from ownership in years past? If you know, I don't know, Vegas had existed. I can't speak to that.
Of course he wouldn't, because it's the same as I'm a Nationals fan who grew up a diehard Orioles fan and still root for the Orioles. If the Orioles wanted me to come do something just because I do a lot of stuff with the Nationals, I would say, okay, who cares? You can be a fan of two teams. You can like the Caps and love Vegas. Vegas is my team. I work in Washington, D.C., and I live here all the time. I want good things for the Nationals. By the way, the Capitals and the Vegas Golden Knights are in different conferences.
Yeah.
They play twice a year. They're not even competing against one another until a rare Stanley Cup, which they probably won't meet in another one for the next 37 years.
Or ever.
Correct. So that's just one thing, and nobody's wrong here.
It's couldn't get worked
opinion.
Up about that. But people
that's
have
That's something
been.
I'll never get to see eye to eye with people on. I think that the other stuff he mentioned is all fair. Mostly, I think it makes sense. Sometimes, though, people make a lot out of nothing with him. And he shaved before they played the Yankees.
And that was
clearly,
the thing. Remember that?
Yeah, clearly he shaved because he wanted the Yankees to see, I'm okay not having a beard because I can play by your rules because you guys don't like facial hair. I mean, that was a story for 2 days. You know how many people shave? Players every single night shave.
Tanner Roark shaved.
It's sometimes you shave. Sometimes you're grooming your beard, and you cut a little too close, and you have to shave when you don't want
to. When you're two for your last 26, you mix it up, and that's what he was doing.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, 800-636-1067. Scott Allen of the D.C. Sports Blog in 15 minutes. Chris is in Hyattsville. Chris, how are you?
Hey, Grant, how you doing? I'm sorry. Bryce could root for the Monsters in Space Jam. I would not care.
Good line.
The thing I think that fans is, I feel like fans feel cheated in Washington because we've only gotten two seasons of excellence out of Harper. His rookie year when he was the talk of baseball and totally re-energized the team, and his MVP year where he was the best player in baseball and maybe one of the best seasons in the last 50 years. But other than that, it's been injuries or poor performance like he did in 2016 and like he's done most of this season. We thought we were getting Mickey Mantle, and in my opinion, we ended up getting J.D. Drew. Now, I know you're going to disagree with that, but, you know, ask the Red Sox fans how they felt about J.D. Drew. You know, it was similar expectations and nowhere near the same performance.
Yeah, let me know when J.D. Drew leads the league in intentional walks. I mean, this is not J.D. Drew. However, I actually think the call, Chris, is very good, as always. Thank you. The point I will completely agree with is I think we need to add hype to this. I think we need to add the unrealistic expectations. And that's why Nats fans say all the time, he's had one good year. No, he's had one year that no one's ever had before. He had one what I'll call a Hall of Fame year.
Yep.
He has had one year that was iconic and is almost impossible for any human to duplicate. But that's quote unquote good because it's the expectation, because it's what he should be every year because he's Bryce Harper.
But I think the J.D. Drew Cup is actually not that terrible of one. I know the overall career arc, now that we know, we kind of chuckle at that, but J.D. Drew sat out of here because he didn't want to go play for the Phillies. He was the transcendent player. He was always the expectations guy. And there are a lot of comparisons between him and Harper. Now, J.D. Drew didn't graduate high school early, didn't have the same track, and didn't break in as a teenager the way that Bryce Harper did. But there is some of that there. And people got mad at J.D. Drew because he never hit 60 homers and hit 400 this season. And because he was a little bit reserved.
Oh, you're talking about story arc.
Yeah, just kind of the whole thing.
I thought he was competent as a player. Like, you got a guy who's J.D. Drew, who in his 162 games averaged 25 homers and hit 270.
Now, J.D. Drew never had the MVP season you're talking about.
No, he was a one-time All-Star.
But when you put it all together and you go, you know, career numbers of 277 and averaging, you know, 25 homers a year, as Bryce Harper has done. Now, with the higher highs that anyone's going to come across for J.D. Drew, I don't think it's that terrible of a comp. I see the point there, because the expectations and the hope and the delivery haven't always panned out.
Tom's in Fairfax. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jens. How's it going? So here's the thing. I believe that the Golden Knights jersey was a turning point for the fans. However, in this area, the fans, no matter what sport it is, the fans want the championship now. I'll compare it to, like, Kirk Cousins not winning. As soon as the Redskins started going down, people wanted him out, but wanted the next best thing. Never mind the fact that he was the best quarterback we had in 20-plus years here. And the other thing that I'll say is that with Alex Ovechkin in the Columbus series, everywhere that I went, all the people that I talked to, when they were down, everybody's like, oh, if they don't make it past the first round, Alex Ovechkin needs to leave. They need to redo the whole team. Everybody just wants that championship right now, and that's unfair to Bryce Harper, because they're overlooking everything that he's done here, especially this year. The most in walks, the home runs that he's done this year, on bases, percentage. It's ridiculous.
Appreciate you, buddy. Mike's Falls Church. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. I could speak to just sort of locally something that happened. We had Gio come out for the Little League here in Falls Church last year. He spent 4 or 5 hours with the kids.
He's
signed every autograph of every kid. Yeah, he was amazing. And then Bryce was this year, which my kids freaked out about, right? Everyone here in the town was freaking out about. It rained the morning of, so it was postponed for a couple weeks after, even after the season. And then the day of comes, we're telling our kids, we're getting them all pumped up, we're ready to go. He cancels the day of because he's sick, in quotes, and then plays later on that day. So, we're here. The league is sponsored by the Nats. Bryce walks on water in my house, and my kid's just disappointed. So I think things like that from a local perspective.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that story. I remember when he went out and played baseball on the mall with a bunch of kids playing wiffle ball. So maybe that cancels that one out or something. But yeah, if that happened, that's disappointing. I would say that he could have been sick, by the way. He gets paid $20 million to play for the Nationals when he's sick. He doesn't get paid $20 million to show up at the event when he's sick. That said, if he did that, obviously that's not how you should conduct yourself as a professional. I'll have to take your word for it. But I think his comp to Gio Gonzalez is a good one, in that a guy like that shows up and is personable and holds court with everyone. It's really easy to like Gio Gonzalez. Dustin Lusby, how are you?
Hey, Dustin.
Dustin, you there? Let's go to Alan in Centerville on the Fan. Hello, Alan.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
buddy.
It's been a little while since I've called you. So real quick, before I get into this, Grant, the other day, I guess, I don't know if it was 2 weekends ago, I heard you announcing for the Valor. I had no idea, man. You sound like you've got some experience.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
He'll announce a game for you, Grant Paulson will.
I'll try to.
Yeah, how long have you been doing that?
It's a couple seasons for the Valor now, but I've called play-by-play like high school and college levels for a while.
Good for you, man. You sound good. I'll get to it. I know you want to get through some calls. So,
thank you.
I think right now, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's just the whole haterade thing. Everyone kind of hating on him. He's kind of embracing that. He doesn't get invested, and he's kind of going about it like he doesn't care. It's like I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Bring more attention to him, to his name, and his social media. That's the way I'm looking at it. It's more.
You're breaking up. Sorry, buddy. Christian's in Alexandria. Hello, Christian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Real quick, three comments. One, no one owns Bryce Harper, right? From a contractual standpoint, sure, maybe. as a human being, no. He can root for whomever he wants to root for. He can say whatever he wants to say, and then he takes ownership of that, right? Good, bad, or ugly. But for people to say that he can't wear a Golden Knights jersey, he can't do this, he can't say that, of course he can. He can say whatever he wants. The whole Yankees thing, I am the biggest anti-Yankee fan out there. I can't stand what they stand for right now, and the money, and the Steinbrenner era, and all that stuff. At the same time, as a baseball fan, I can look at that franchise and the history of it and appreciate the Mantles and the Gehrigs and the Ruths and all that stuff, and the Whitey Fords, and what they have brought to the game is immeasurable. And I think any good fan of baseball, like Bryce obviously is, knows that and appreciates that and would want to be a part of that. I don't think anyone can really fault him for that. Again, as a fan of baseball. And the last point I'll make is that, you know, some of the callers have said, well, it's on Bryce for this and this and that. We forget that baseball is a team sport. And teams don't lose a game because of one player striking out three or four times. Right? There are multiple issues, multiple players you can point to over the years. I'm a big Drew Storen fan, but people, Drew Storen has been part of that narrative in the playoffs, right? Is it all on Drew Storen? One or two instances? Sure. But it's not all on one individual, and I don't think it's on Bryce 100% either, obviously, regardless of how much money he makes now or will make. Thanks.
Thank you, man. It's a good phone call. Appreciate you making it.
Appreciate all the calls. I thought that was a really good conversation. And honestly, we could have probably had it for another couple of segments if we wanted to. Maybe it's something we'll revisit as we get closer to the trade deadline. Ideally, the Nats won't have to make the decision as to whether or not they want to sell Bryce Harper off. But if they don't gain ground and we get closer 2 weeks from now to the deadline, it could end up being a topic, at least, on a show like this one.
Man, crazy to think about.
Scott Allen of the DC Sports Blog is going to join us next to talk about the All-Star festivities this weekend. We can get him to dip his toe in the Harper waters as well on the Fan. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Scott Allen awaits. Scott, DC painting itself all Major League Baseball all the time. Should be a crazy few days in town, don't you think?
Oh, certainly. I mean, it's crazy. This is normally the time of year when we're kind of gearing up for training camp, right? You know, we had the Caps Stanley Cup run for a change, and then leading like right into this All-Star game prep. And also, I mean, forgotten in all this, kind of the stepsister DC United opening Audi Field right across the way on Saturday. It's an incredible sports weekend for DC, with obviously the All-Star game being the focal point.
Scott, hard to quantify this, and you and years past, Steinberg would be in such a good position to try to calibrate and quantify the interest in something. I don't know, you know, if it's clicks, if it's eyeballs on, if it's enthusiasm, whatever it is. But how is this balanced with the Nats just having a brutally disappointing season to this stage with the All-Star game here in town? What are you sensing there? Just quantify that for us as best you can.
Yeah, in terms of local fans, I think that's got to be a factor. I mean, even just starting with the number of All-Star representatives, right? I mean, in past years when they've had better starts to the season, we've seen five and what, maybe six guys represented the All-Star game, and this year three, and one of them hits the DL and isn't going to be able to play. So I think that plays into it. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit surprised about I thought it would feel more exciting. I don't know if there's like kind of a hangover effect from the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup, a great hangover, I might add, but I haven't felt it yet. You know, maybe that'll kick in this weekend, but I think you're right. I think that, you know, part of this, the team's struggles in the first half of the season is a major factor.
Scott Allen on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What parts of this weekend do you hope to take part in? I mean, what are you excited about? I always have tried to advocate for the Futures game. I've been going to it for years. I love it. Tickets are super cheap. It's tomorrow's stars. You get to see Carter Kieboom, a couple of the shortstops in the system. But is there anything you kind of have your eye on this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there Sunday for the Futures game and the celebrity softball game. And in the Futures game, I'm going to be watching Fernando Tatis Jr., the prospect for the Padres. And this probably isn't a great idea, but I may use his performance to decide whether to make a trade in my NL-only fantasy baseball league. Futures game is always great. I'm going to try to get to FanFest. I haven't been over there yet. I've got some buddies who are over there today who have texted me some pictures. They say the virtual reality home run derby booth is incredible. There's a new era booth that is a human claw, where I think you pay a small amount of money and you get like kind of, you know, like the claw machines at a bowling alley or whatever. They'll suspend you in this device and lower you into a big tub that's got boxes of, I guess, different new era caps. And you pick one up. Maybe you wind up with a Yankees cap. I don't know what they are exactly, but that looks cool. So FanFest and then All-Star Sunday are the two main things. And then obviously the Home Run Derby on Monday, maybe the highlight of the weekend, I think, even including the game.
Scott S. Allen on Twitter. There's two T's in Scott, and then the S right in the middle. So it's almost like Scott's Allen, a possessive, minus the apostrophe. I don't know if I explained that better or worse. Scott does the DC Sports Blog these days. Scott, we've been kicking this conversation around for an hour plus about Bryce Harper. And it's not about whether you would pay him, whether you'd not pay him. It's hard to say that it's tangible, but we've got this feeling. There's more vitriol. There's more venom. There's more I'm ready to move on from Bryce, from a lot of this fan base, than I ever would have thought possible as recently as before this season started. A, are you experiencing the same thing? And B, try to put it in perspective for us. Why is that?
Yeah, I felt it. I've seen it on social media. I want to go back and listen to the segment because, yeah, I saw Dan tweeting about it earlier this week.
You've got about five segments to choose from. You've got to
sift through a lot. Yeah.
Well, I'll look for the podcast. I'll listen to it sometime tonight.
GrantandDanny.com.
But yeah, and I saw your tweets, Grant. I think the hype, him being linked to, you know, this record deal, and he's not Mike Trout. You know, I think he set such a high bar with that MVP season in 2015 that he hasn't matched that since then. It doesn't mean he's not a great player, but he hasn't come close to matching that. For me, you know, at the bottom of my list, and I just will never understand the fans who are ticked off about him supporting the Golden Knights. You know, that doesn't bother me at all. I've said that for years. I mean, John Wall, Cowboys fan, whatever. Like, root for who you want to root for. Just show up and represent your team well. He's always saying he loves the city, et cetera. But for me, a big factor is the emergence of Juan Soto. I mean, ahead of the curve, no one was expecting him to come up this soon and do what he's doing. And looking at the outfield that you have there, I mean, if Victor Robles is what he was supposed to, the team is billing him as, you've got Robles, Soto, and Eaton in the outfield, Michael Taylor still, that's a crowded situation. I mean, why spend $400 million or whatever it's going to take to bring Harper back when you've got those guys under team control? And then on top of that, besides Soto, I think personality-wise, Bryce used to be more raw, less buttoned up on social media. I mean, his message is always on point. It's the same, though, all the time. He says the same things. It's kind of dull.
But he used to get crushed. I mean, we had a guy reference a tweet from seven years ago when he tweeted about the Cowboys or he posted a picture of himself at WWE Raw 5 years ago or something like that. Like, I'd stop tweeting a bunch, too. One other thing I want to throw at you. Is this sure. idea, because there's a bunch of tweets. This is after I just put out a tweet at the end of the topic, by the way. And a bunch of people sent this in. And we could have probably done this for 3 days on the show if we wanted to. But someone said, not a team leader. And I saw this from over and over again. Cares more about himself than the team. Like, why do people say that? Did he come out and say that at some point? I don't know where that comes from.
No, definitely not. I mean, and you can debate whether he's a... I've never gotten the sense. I think he's openly admitted, maybe on your show, that he's not a rah-rah team leader. He's not a clubhouse voice like everyone pointed to Jason Worth. Bryce Harper pointed to Jason Worth as that guy. I think at the beginning of the season, he said, you know, I may not be the one who steps in to fill his shoes from a vocal standpoint, but kind of, you know, leading by example on the field. He's obviously had some struggles this year. But yeah, the putting it all on Harper for them not making it out of the first round of the playoffs, I think it's a weird thing in baseball. It's never just one guy, and I've never gotten the sense that he's not a team player. So that's a weird one to me.
Yeah, people are looking for reasons not to like him, and that's what's so fascinating about this—a guy that's done an awful lot here in Washington D.C. We could talk to you about this for hours, man. But we got to jump. Appreciate the time and enjoy the weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys.
And thanks for coming on. Check out the DC Sports Blog and all of Scott Allen's work there. As promised, though, right now, we've got another family four-pack of tickets to the Geico All-Star Fan Fest coming to the Walter E. Washington Convention Center on July 13th. Goes through the 17th. Tickets are available for you. You can go to thefandc.com/contest for more information. 89th annual All-Star Game is on Tuesday night. Chris Russell's got tickets. He's giving away at 5:05 and 5:40 today. Here is your question for the tickets in for the Fan Fest, I should say. Who's leading Major League Baseball in stolen bases right now? Who is leading Major League Baseball in stolen bases right now? If you know that, you're going to Fan Fest. Got to be the 10th caller on Grant and Danny. Big thank you to Chris Russell, who just joined me for a game of catch, because Danny Ruye refuses to play catch with me for some reason.
I'd have to loosen up, and I'd have to stretch a lot. No one has that kind of time.
We're tossing the ball 8 feet in a small room, back and forth, catching it in our mitts. And I said, Danny, throw the ball with me for a couple minutes. He goes, I got to stretch. I can't do that.
It's not your shoulder and elbow and back that are in jeopardy. It's your boys. I'm a rusty gate, man. I can't do anything without loosening up.
7 feet. You could underhand the ball from that distance.
But what kind of fun is that? We're underhanding back and forth now?
More fun than not playing catch.
Oh, I disagree. It's more fun to watch you and Chris Russell, and you make fun of how Chris Russell's catching style. I had a great time.
Chris Russell, in fairness, did you notice that he kept catching with two hands?
He was fundamentally sound.
He was wearing a glove, but yet he was basically doing it the way a Little League coach would instruct you to do it in the outfield, but from 5 feet away. So he would basically like catch the ball with his hand and put it in the mitt. I don't know why it was irking me, but it was irking.
It did irk you, I will say that.
It was very fundamentally sound.
With his credential around his neck for a team that's not in season. It's a thing I'll never get over with him. I love Chris Russell to death.
Was he doing that?
Yeah. He has a Capitals credential around his neck right now. He leaves the house. He's not going to Kettler today. He's not going to Capital One Arena today. He's going here in the room where Chad Dukes and the Yunkies sit when they do their show. And he's going to do the radio program from that studio, but he's got a credential around his neck. It's the thing about him that I've understood the least.
He likes telling everyone that he went. It's like the guy that frames all of his tickets or has like a flip book. Russell's version is just wearing the credential around for 365 days.
I don't know if it's something that he does consciously. I don't think he's cognizant of, he doesn't walk out of his house and say, I'm going to keep this Caps credential on because Tommy's going to know that I was at the game. What he does is he lives a busy life where he's always in a rush and he's constantly like doing what's next.
Now,
he doesn't prepare like 8 hours or a day in advance. So he's just running last minute out the door to get in traffic to get here at the time he needs to be here at, and he throws his credential on, and he doesn't take the time when he gets home tonight to just take the Caps credential off.
Yeah, no, I think it's really stupid and asinine what happens around here a lot, where if I'm, for example, if you and I have an event at Nats Park or something like that, or I'm going to Nats Park later, and I've got my credential on that day because I didn't want to forget it or something like you're talking about, where I'm eventually going to go. Apparently around here, you're not allowed to do any. You're not allowed to wear your credential unless it's like that instant.
You're the one
joining
on Russell right now.
This is a different level, though. I wear my Nats credential when I'm going to Nationals Park that afternoon, or like an hour from now, 2 hours from now. Like on Monday, I'll probably come in wearing my Nationals credential because I'm going to need it.
Are you going to go pick up your All-Star Game credential today before you go home?
I could probably do it Monday.
Okay.
Because we'll do the show and then we'll have hours to just kill before we do the second show.
That's a good point.
So I'll probably go do it then. But I'll have my credential. I'll be made fun of, I'm sure. I think that's dumb. I think wearing your credential out of season. The Capitals are not in danger of doing anything together as a team for months. And he's got his credential on.
Yes.
I find that fascinating.
The Nats are in danger of winning a second straight game and getting two games over 500. They got to beat the Mets tonight. First pitch at Citi Field set for 7:10. They got Noah Syndergaard standing in their way.
Ew.
Good news, bad news here. Good news is he normally doesn't stay in games longer than five or six innings at a time. Then you get to the Mets bullpen. Bad news is he's outstanding. 4-1 with a 3.06 ERA. Worst news, Tanner Roark's on the mound. It has been a really bad stretch for Roark, who's trying to fix himself going into this All-Star break. For the lineup, Anthony Rendon stayed hot with two homers yesterday. He's hit safely in 12 of 14 with 10 extra base hits, including six home runs, 13 batted in over his last 14 games. He's fifth in the National League with 25 doubles.
His outs are allowed, too. I mean, he's, you know, yesterday he had like that 400-foot, you know, pretty solid line out to center field. He's scoring the ball up, man.
The aforementioned Bryce Harper will look to build on his last at-bat, which was a prodigious home run. Which game did he go deep in the Pittsburgh series? Game 2, I think?
Yes.
So that would mean it was the game they won. So
yeah, which was the second one.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I think you're right. No, they won the first one and lost two straight, I think. But regardless, it doesn't matter. The point is, he went deep in the Pittsburgh series, went deep already in this series. So twice in the last 3 or 4 days is what I was trying to get at.
You were right. They won the first one and lost the second two.
But that means he's hit homers now in what? Two of the last four games, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something. I don't know. Probably not. The way his season's gone, maybe he'll go one for his next 16. Nobody knows.
Yeah, he's at some point, this All-Star break, maybe the Home Run Derby does the reverse of what it does to everyone else, wouldn't which is unlock great. It. It'd be cool if his swing just quiet and calm, maybe his dad coming to throw him cutters or whatever the heck it was in years past, got him locked in some kind of way. That work he was doing with Kevin Long to kind of be more upright, that they broke down really well on MLB Network, I just don't know. It's sometimes it looks so great. That operation against Jerry Blevins, the mistake is made by Blevins. How many times has Harper just sort of fouled that off or just missed it or kind of fallen away as he swings? That was like one of those, oh, yeah, that's right, this is the best player in the world type swings that he took. And, of course, he crushed it. Just they've been so few and far between.
Yeah, you want more of those. Sandlot segment was great today. It was actually two of them from 10:30 to 11, thanks to Tommy, CK, and everyone involved in getting that put together. Scotty Smalls and Kenny DeNunes, a couple of the characters there. We had a chance to sit down and talk all about the movie. Tom Geary and Brandon Allen came in, and it was awesome. We appreciated them being a part of the show today. So if you missed that, go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. And I believe there's a video coming up on the website as well.
There's some video, yeah.
Because AWOD recorded it in the Junkie Studio. So we should be able to see the video of those guys chatting with us, which is cool.
Which is really neat, man. That was fun. Doing a cool thing like that kind of in the middle of the summertime when things are a bit slow, that's neat. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. If you're going to FanFest, if you're going to the Futures game, which I advocate that you guys do, it's a blast. We'll chat with you on Monday ahead of the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, we've got a huge wall-to-wall set of coverage for you guys who like the baseball on Monday and Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Appreciate all the work behind the scenes. TVGW up next. Chris Russell in Fort Campbell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.